Good morning. The reading this morning starts on page 1195, if I can remember properly. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Before I go into the word, I'm just going to open in prayer. Father, Lord, thank you for the gift of your word, Lord. Thank you for how it encourages us, how it blesses us, and how it speaks into every situation in our life, Lord. I just pray that it applies to each one of us in some way today, God. And I pray that you just anoint me to deliver what you have to speak to everybody. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week, Jonathan spoke to us, opened up for us the book of Timothy, and started to explore it, and spoke about how, in the same way that Paul is speaking into Timothy, God wants someone speaking into our life, opening us up to his word and what it says. And I'm just going to be leading on from that in how Paul starts this process. Paul opens up this relationship with Timothy. And the second stage of that, if you like, in the book is, Paul exploring this concept of encouragement. How does Timothy keep going through what God has called him to do? He doesn't just open up the word to him. He doesn't open up the calling to him and leave him there, but he speaks words into him that are going to encourage him for the rest of his calling. So it's helpful for us to explore what encouragement is. God filling us with courage within our calling, confirming to us that we can do something. And what is discouragement? Knowing that we can't. There are many reasons why I could have been discouraged to preach this very sermon this morning. Number one, this is the largest audience that I've ever spoken in front of. Number two, throughout the week I was preparing this sermon, spending good hours of work, and it came to Thursday and I realized that I had the wrong verse. So had to do some backtracking. And number three, as many of you know, I am the youth worker here. And for some of you parents, you know, whose youth go to our groups may not have ever heard me preach or teach. And now you're about to find out if I have any idea what I'm talking about. So quite intimidating. But God doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to be encouraged at all times, throughout the calling, throughout what he has called us to do in our lives. And it's through his Holy Spirit that he reminds us of who he is. We read in Matthew 28, verse 20, Christ says, I am with you always until the end of the age. After he left, he said this to the disciples because he wanted to remind them that wherever they go and whatever they're doing, he is always going to be here. God wants us to be full of courage in every situation because Christ is with us. And if Paul can remain encouraged, and so can we. We know that Paul was one that went through some tumultuous situations, went through persecution, being shipwrecked, so on and so forth. We are aware of the stories, but yet he was one of the most encouraged men in the Bible because he understood that he was in God's calling. And he was understood that nothing can separate him from that and nothing can deter him. And Paul wants Timothy to have the same mindset, that God has called you to do this. God has placed you in a particular situation. And so there's no reason for you to be discouraged because you're not going to fail at something that I've called you to do. I'd like to tell a few analogies from my own life in which I have been both encouraged and discouraged. When I was a new Christian, about 16 or 17, I was very fervent about the faith. I was a bit more aggressive than I was now. So when I was around that age, I went to sixth form college. You know, I'm not from South London, I'm from North London, so it probably isn't one that any of you would know. But in sixth form college, when I got there, you know, and I was, you know, as I said, just a new Christian, I was asking around, is anybody a Christian? Do any of you, I want to get to know you so that we can kind of walk through this together. And there was nobody. No one in the entire place shared my faith. In fact, you know, they were quite belligerent towards it. No one supported me. Everyone thought it was ridiculous. And so, you know, in my first couple of weeks at sixth form, I'd be like, I went home and I thought to myself, I'm not having this. I'm full of courage for the Lord, and I want to make a stand. So I had this jumper. It was like a hoodie, and it had emblazoned in gold on the front of it. It was huge. It says, I am on the Lord's side. And on the back, there was a verse, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed according to the renewing of your minds. I wanted to make this stand, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to wear this hoodie. But I'm not just going to wear it. I'm going to wear it every single day. And I wore this hoodie for 6 months straight. And, you know, whereas I might not take the same approach these days, because I understand that there are different ways of demonstrating Christ and sharing our faith. That was a time that I was full of courage because I understood that God had placed me in that sixth form college, that he had put me there. I'm not going to let anything get the better of me. I'm not going to be discouraged by these people that are surrounding me. And so, you know, God wants us to have that courage, to make that stand for him and understand that we are where he placed us to be. There are also times when I've been discouraged. And I think one of the most profound times when we can be discouraged is when things don't go as we expect. I'm only 24, so I'm by no means the standard of life and so on and giving advice. But in my young age, I still understand that often life isn't what we expect. We place expectations and think things are going to happen, but they don't. And when that happens, we become discouraged. Unfortunately, you know, for those of you who follow football, last Saturday we had a tragic incident in which Liverpool lost the Champions League. I was so very confident that Liverpool were going to... I'm a Liverpool fan. I was so confident that we were going to win. Me and Jonathan Smith, we agreed that if Liverpool do win, we're going to buy pizza for everyone in the office the next day when everyone was in. And I was so confident that we were going to win, that when I was doing my monthly budgeting, I budgeted in for that pizza purchase. But lo and behold, it didn't happen. And I was discouraged. A more relevant, perhaps, you know, life application example that I can give. As many of you know, I'm soon getting married. That's the main reason why I'm leaving here. And my fiance, she is from America. She's from Los Angeles. And it's been about almost 2 years now in which we have been in this long distance relationship, been away from each other. And when I first met her, I was like, man, finally, I've got a girlfriend. And you know, she's a Christian too, you know, and we could get married. And it was awesome. It was so exciting. But then I got home. I left America. I left the summer camp where we both work at. And after a couple of months, I was like, oh, okay, this is what it's like. This is what it's like being apart. And it's been very difficult, extremely difficult. This is the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. Harder than running any marathon, harder than anything like that. Extremely difficult process, and it's very easy to get discouraged. What if something happens? What if something happens to her or to me or to our relationship? What if I get there and, you know, everything's changed? And that's been an incredibly discouraging process at times. But as our relationship has progressed, God has confirmed in me more and more that this is what he has called me to do. And that's how I have found my courage. That's how I have remained courageous in light of this situation. Because it's what he called me to do. And so going back to the verse, going back to what Paul is saying to Timothy, this is what he's trying to highlight to him. That we're rooting our courage in Christ as he comes alongside us through the Holy Spirit and fills us with courage to face these different situations that we might face because he has called us to do them. Paul is encouraged despite everything. We look at the first verse, verse 8. If you have the page open, please follow with me. On the church Bible, it's 1195. The first verse, verse 8, says, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering by the gospel, by the power of God." Paul isn't discouraged, despite the fact that he's a prisoner. He understands that that's what God has called him to do. And throughout this passage, he just anchors and roots this sense of confidence and sense of courageousness that's found in Christ. We read verse 9. "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose of grace and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." So not only is Paul saying that we can be courageous when we're faced with new situations, he's saying that no matter what we've done in the past, it doesn't need to discourage us because it doesn't depend on us. Verse 9, "not because of anything we have done." And so our sense of courage isn't rooted in ourselves, but in what Christ has called us to do. And it's so cemented, so stable, because it's in him. As it says, "this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." So before time began, God knew that Liverpool were going to lose the Champions League final. I don't know why he didn't do anything about it, but that's a question for another day. God knew that I was going to go through this long distance relationship. God knew that Paul was going to be a prisoner. But he knew that as long as we look to him to find our confidence and our courage, it will be fine. And we know that Paul expands on this throughout different letters that are found throughout the New Testament. You know, an extremely powerful verse where Paul says, in Romans, "for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord." And Paul is just reaffirming that here. reaffirming that this is why I'm encouraged, because nothing can separate me from his love, and that's what's going to see me through this situation. And again, Jesus affirms this as well when he says, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And it's not as though the Holy Spirit fills us with some courage juice. It's that the Holy Spirit reminds us and points us towards Christ and continuously affirms to us that he is our ultimate calling. And no matter what happens, nothing can separate us from him. Through verse 11 and verse 12, we get a tremendous sense of Paul looking at his situation and just taking it head on, facing it. Reading verse 11 and 12 again. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Paul is telling Timothy that no matter what you go through, if you go through the same thing that I am, maybe you will suffer. And maybe it won't be as you expected. But nothing is going to separate you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, the good deposit that was entrusted to you. So Paul is encouraged. And this is the word that he wants to speak into us. The word that he wants to speak into Timothy, that ultimately stems from God and through the Holy Spirit. As we look to him, we find our encouragement from understanding that he is our ultimate calling. If we look at verses 16 to 18, as Paul does throughout the New Testament, throughout his epistles, he paints a picture through the people that he's dealing with, and helps us to understand his point by relating it to certain situations. So if we read verse 15 through to 18 again, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygelus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that we will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. So I think it's no mistake that Paul presents this analogy, presents this passage straight after this verse. And I couldn't help, when reading through it, of being reminded of the story when Peter denies Jesus three times. These people, Phygelus and the Hermogenes, and the word doesn't quite explain to us why they turned away from Paul, but one could postulate a number of things. Perhaps they succumbed to the pressure of persecution. Perhaps, as Paul demonstrates, they were ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of me, his prisoner, as he's telling Timothy not to do. But the point is that they didn't have the courage to see it through, and they deserted Paul. And Paul puts this in contrast with this other character, Onesiphorus, who, on the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. And I think that Paul uses this analogy here because he wants to demonstrate to us what that looks like practically in our relationship with Christ, with these people, as it's worked with him. Christ speaks confidence, speaks courage into Paul. Paul speaks that into Timothy, and he wants Timothy to continue that baton. And so Paul wants us to be more like Onesiphorus in not being ashamed of him, in not being discouraged, but searching hard for him until we find him. And he doesn't want us to desert him because he has everything we need. Once we build our foundation in him and once we establish our confidence in Christ, it's the most secure place we can build it. Because it's been there since the beginning of time. And so that's the message that we're able to get from what Paul is speaking into Timothy here. Christ has come alongside us. He's revealed himself to us. If we just, you know, Paul always paints the picture of Christ in such magnificent ways. And if we just read this again a bit more slowly. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is where our confidence is found. And this is the one that fills us with courage. So we are to be encouraged by the fact that God has called us and placed us in the situations that we're in. And there's no reason for us to feel like we can't do something when he says that we can. I'm just going to invite everybody to stand. And as the band starts playing, I just want to close. I want us to close our eyes. And I want us to try and envision the cross. Envision the cross of Christ. And realize that that cross has been there since the beginning of time. And it always will be. And today as we enter communion, as we share this meal, as Christ did, he came alongside us to share this meal. He shared it with his disciples. He shares it with us every day. And we just envision the cross and envision that it is what God has called us to do, to follow him and to find our confidence and be encouraged by him. Father Lord, I thank you for coming alongside us. Thank you that you have placed us in the situations that you have placed us in. And thank you, God, that you will always be there, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I pray that when we feel discouraged, we can look to you to find encouragement, and we wouldn't look to other sources, God, because none of those can even compare to what you've done and who you are. And I pray for everybody here, Lord, who's going through discouraging times or who is overly encouraged, not to lose track of the cross, not to lose track of who you are and how you want to fill us and come alongside us and be our guide and be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.